Mr. Crowder, could you please lead us in the pledge?
It's my pleasure. Oh, the flag's back. Good, thanks. If you could please face the flag and follow after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Let the record show that all board members are present. Public comments. I see no public comment cards. Categorical programs. Number one, board policy 6020, parent and family engagement. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing regarding the revisions of board policy 6020, parent and family engagement. Public hearing is now open.
Perfect. First, I'd just like to say thank you very much for coming together. I know this wasn't a regularly scheduled board meeting, so we really appreciate your willingness to come together and take a look at a few policies. As you know, we are right in the middle of preparing for our federal program monitoring review, which is going to happen with the Department of Ed the week of January 27th. They'll actually be here on campus and actually out at a few of the sites that they've designated for the instruments that they're looking at. But as we've been going through our policies, there are a few that we need to have updated. So again, thank you so much for coming out to do that. The very first one is the family and parent engagement policy. At the beginning of this school year, prior to the beginning of this school year, we approved an updated parent and family engagement policy that Gamut had recommended. However, it does not meet the California Department of Ed's guidelines. So what you see before us is a radically different policy than what we had before. Much more detailed, has a lot of the administrative reg components built right into the board policy, but it takes the Title I requirement for parent and family engagement, breaks it out, and then the district has it responded right inside of the policy and how we address each one of those components.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Please.
Yeah, looking at this policy, I think this policy is fine, except for one thing. When you look at on page 14, or no, page 8, mm-hmm. and 1.2C, train teachers and administrators to communicate effectively with parents. And I'm all for that, 100%. What I'm worried about, and I hope that...
Mr. Allison, can you... Page 14, you're going
page
much...
Page 8, I said page 8. I changed it. I said I made a mistake.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Page 8, 1.2C.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, where it says, train teachers and administrators to commute effectively with parents. And I'm all for that, 100% for that. The thing is that I hope Mr. Carrion, when they're doing negotiations, I know the teachers, MUTA, is going to be asking for something. We're already, like, there's that one section in their contract that talks about and other stuff. I forgot exactly what it is. I'm paraphrasing. But other things that are required for their job. And when we're training teachers to communicate effectively with parents, that's great. But when we take the time to do it, teachers already have a lot of stuff on their plate. And so I'm all for doing that, but I'm really hoping that we somehow compensate teachers for that training and administrators for that training, you know. And I don't see that in here, but I'm expecting that to happen. And that's basically all I have to say about this one.
The question I have was, you use the acronym LEA.
Oh. So LEA is actually federal language for the local education agency. And in all of our minds, we can just replace LEA with MJUSD. It just means the district.
That's what I thought. But in your narrative, that LEA is never defined.
Okay. Thank you. That's a good point. And we can fix that.
Thank you.
So, Jamie, when we're looking at these revised board policies, where does that information come from? Where did these revised board policies come from?
Well, you know, it's interesting because during a federal program monitoring, an FPM year, it comes up to us because as we're going through these instruments and as we're uploading information, which we have been doing for the last month through an online system, we're uploading information to the Department of Ed, and they're taking a look at this and they're saying, oh, this policy doesn't meet the guidelines that we need it to meet. So it's interesting. Rocco and I were just having this conversation earlier today in terms of there's just not a depository out there where the Department of Ed lists and says, here are all of our policies, make sure they're updated. Or none of us would need Gamut to help us do that. But what we're finding is in some cases, Gamut isn't up to date with what the department is asking. So it's during an FPM year. And as we get further down the agenda, Rocco is here with a PE board policy that really has one sentence changed in it. So during FPM, it gets pretty nitpicky down to the word in terms of are we meeting what the department considers compliant or not?
Thank you. It seems to me that we pay California School Boards Association money to be able to give us board policies. Is that true? Okay, so they're kind of where we're, what? So we're actually getting, because I think it's way too much for to ask folks here in the district to write a board policy, but it seems like, so that's why we're paying to try to have that avenue, but it sounds like maybe those board policies that they have in their bank is not up to date enough for what we need.
Correct. And so just jumping in real quick. So CSBA is the agency that essentially runs Gamut for us and that we pay for this. And they have a full policy review process you can go through with them. So I put in an inquiry to that because the PE policy is one we brought up back in September and it was approved. We got it all updated to what CSBA was telling us is the most current policy. So then we get the reviewer coming in for FPM and they have there's basically a Title IX clause in there that was added. And so when we saw that, me and Amy went through and we looked, and okay, well, it's not in Gamut. So I called Gamut, and then in talking to a few people there, we got to, well, we actually have another site as well that's got some more up-to-date stuff in it. We went, okay, that seems weird to have two different repositories. We then got a password, got into that repository, pulled a policy that had more detail, but it still didn't have the sentence that was added by the CDE reviewer. So we actually have a call in. She wasn't able to be on the call today, but to the PE reviewer basically asking, where did you get this language? Is there another repository or another place that we don't have? Because you're right, very much the number of policies that come through in a year, I mean, you probably have 20 or 30 policy updates or changes every year district-wide, and so we rely on CSBA to give us those updates. Like they send a flash anytime something's changed so that we can be aware of it. But a couple of the changes, like the ones you're seeing today, weren't in any of the flashes, and they weren't in Gamut when we looked. And so we're going with what the reviewers are telling us now, with the inquisition to them of finding out where are you also pulling this additional language, or is this something that's new that came out of FPM reviews that you've been doing over the last year that hasn't made it into newly adopted CSBA policy yet?
Okay, great. Any other comments or questions? If not, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close.
I have a motion to close by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. Now we need a motion regarding the revision to board policy 6020.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have board policy 1312.3, uniform complaint procedures. Purpose of the agenda item is request the board hold a public hearing regarding the revisions to board policy 1312.3, uniform complaint procedures. Public hearing is now open.
Okay, so this is where it gets really fun, because you will notice that this policy was last approved on August 13th, And this revision happened right after our July revision because we were going to be proactive on this one and make sure we had the template that the California Department of Ed wanted us to be using. So we did. And we approved it before school started, and that's the policy that we put in our parent-student rights and sent out to our stakeholders. Well, now we are coming before you again because in October, the Department of Ed went in and made changes to their policy. So you can see there are two very small changes, and it's in your policy. It's on page 19 that's stated new. There's a change from the Board of Education to Governing Board, which is not that big of a deal, and we would have been fine without making that change. But on page 24, there is a paragraph that the Department of Ed added to their own policy. So you can see how complicated it is to try to, you know, to keep up with the policies. Even the department struggles with getting them out before the school year starts. So that's why you are, again, looking at a policy that we just approved a couple of times inside of this last year.
Sure. And on page 20, mm-hmm. We're talking about pupil fees on page 20 and 21. And just for clarification, can you give me some examples of what kids are charged for? I mean, I remember when I was in school, we got charged for all kinds of things. You know, but I know we can't do that anymore. But
correct.
What do kids get charged for?
So when we're talking about things like the opportunity to participate in Shady Creek, which is why there are fundraising activities that happen all over the district to be able to make that happen, kids are no longer charged to participate in any sort of a field trip, shop fees, those types of fees.
So I'm not clear. So like things like Shady Creek, are the kids charged for that, or are they not charged? I think kids right now are still charged, right?
They are charged, and there is fundraising, and this is not my area, so anybody that wants to jump in, go ahead. But they are charged to participate. There are lots of fundraising activities that go into offsetting that fee, and then if there are students that still don't have the funds, whatever's remaining for them to pay, then the district figures out a way to make that happen.
So if they can't pay, because if they can't afford to, because they're hardship, then we will pay. I mean, I had a parent ask me about this just a couple weeks ago, and now I have an answer.
Was that the right answer?
I do know this.
I do know the right answer.
Well, pay for it. Yeah.
If I may shed a little light on this, historically, as discretionary dollars moved away from the ability to fully fund Shady Creek activities, because they became part of the regular program, if they became part of the regular program and they have district-wide, it's incumbent upon the district to ensure that any student who is willing to go has the means to go. Having said that, families, parents, community groups, parent-teacher organizations have embarked on fundraising processes, usually when those children are, in some cases, kindergarten, planning to ensure that when they get to the right and correct age to attend Shady Creek, many, if any, will not have to bear a cost. Ultimately, some do. And some contribute, their families contribute in some way, shape, or form. More to the point is, it's still the ongoing practice that if a family, or specifically a child, wants to go, is going, but yet does not have the mean, the district, through its principal, through the site, through discretionary dollars, makes it appropriate and makes it happen.
Okay, one real quick question I've always been concerned about is, when the kids go up there and we do roll, who gets the ADA?
So I can speak to that. And I think an easy thing, like for when the board's getting questions on this, the common term I think that you'd most frequently here is what's called FAPE, so free and appropriate public education. If we designate that's where the scholastic activities are happening for the day, then we're obliged to pay for whatever that is. So if we can fundraise and they can help, great, but if not, then we do it. So when they're at Shady Creek, they are considered in school. They're marked present. We're still collecting ADA because that's where we've designated school. Now, if that was an additional thing, like over the summer, we said we're going to do an outdoor camp, and anybody who wants to come, it's not part of the regular ADA program where we're collecting, then it would be an optional thing that they could fee, and we wouldn't have to pay for, and we would still want to try to if we were doing that. But where it becomes imperative that we pay is if it's where we're saying this is where the learning is happening, it's part of your free and appropriate education. So if this is where we're doing school today, this is what we're saying is the academic program of the hour, then we would be paying for that.
Okay, so you brought this up. Okay, so let's say we did have a summer program, mm-hmm. and a kid really wanted to go, mm-hmm. but they couldn't afford to go. Would we pay?
I sure hope we would find a way, but as I keep saying, through our budgeting process and everything, we can afford anything we want as a school district, but we can't afford everything. And so we may look, and over the summer, we may find that a summer camp for kids, if we want to fund it, it's going to cost us $10,000, and we would just have to look, can we raise that through the community and our partnerships, or if not, is there something else in the academic program during the year that we feel is more less beneficial than doing that for kids? And then we would have to weigh that.
So it seems to me the two differences would be a requirement versus a request. It doesn't seem like all the students have to go to Shady Creek. It's a request for them to want to go. Thinking about charges, when, you know, back in the day where we mentioned shop fees, again, in order to have a student build a wooden table to show the skills that they can perform in building that wooden table, you can't charge for that wooden table. Correct. But you could certainly, if the student wanted to take it home, then they could pay for the materials. So you can't require a student, I'm thinking, you can't require a student to pay for something to learn.
Correct.
Shady Creek is not a requirement for all students to go to Shady Creek. So it wouldn't seem to me that we would be required to pay for a student if they wanted to go or they didn't want to go.
Okay, now, let's say a kid's a senior and there's an AP math class that has calculus. The kids aren't required to have calculus. Will he have to pay $400 for that calculus book?
No. Calculus for a book?
What? No educational materials for anything we offer in the program. As soon as we create the section and put it in our master schedule and say we're offering AP Calculus, then we're on the hook to make sure that they have the books, the requisite materials. And also in this district, we also, in most cases, pay for the AP examination to make sure that they're going to fully utilize what they're getting from it.
Yep. Any other questions or comments? If not, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close.
Motion to close by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7 yes. Now, is there a motion regarding the revisions to board policy 1312.3?
Motion to approve the revision.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Boom. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7 yes. Educational services. Board policy 6142.7, physical education and activity. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public hearing regarding the revisions to board policy 6142.7, physical education and activities. Public hearing is now open.
Okay. So this one, again, is just a secondary update, adding the one clause that's a Title IX-related clause to make sure we're not discriminating. So an example of this that you could use in the real world is if we had, let's say, a specific football weightlifting PE program and a female student or someone wanted to be part of that was on the football team, that we wouldn't discriminate based on gender. And we don't.
Any questions or comments?
Mm-hmm. So the reason they put that language in there when they're talking about postgraduate, they're talking about post-high school graduate. So there's certain things that can get you exempted from PE. So if you've done your 9th and 10th grade PE program, and then in the 11th grade you come in, you've passed the physical fitness 5 out of 6 of the measures, then you can be exempted from PE your junior and senior year. So in that case, so let's say you've got a student who is on track with doing all of these things, but is also co-enrolled and taking courses at the junior college. In that case, they could fall into the postgraduate student. So if they've not passed...
What do you mean by postgraduate? A kid that's taking extra classes.
Correct. So let's say they hadn't passed the physical fitness in the 11th grade, so they were still technically on the hook for it, but then they're taking classes at the college. That would allow them to do an exemption time-wise for it.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other comments or questions? Not. Is there a motion to close the public hearing? Motion to close by Mr. Davis. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7 yes. Now we need a motion involving the revisions for board policy 6142.7.
Motion for revisions approval.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7 yes. I also want to thank Mr. Greco and Ms. Larson about doing all this work, bringing it to us for this FPM that we're going through right now. It's just a tremendous amount of work, I'm sure. I heard earlier. And I also would like to thank the board members, as you did earlier, for coming to our special meeting today, and wanted to welcome everybody back and Happy New Year. And kind of didn't start the meeting that way, but I guess we can put it halfway in the middle. What I'd like to do now is to take a short recess, maybe 5 minutes, and move the meeting into conference room 1 to continue on with closed session. Thank you.